I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Europa League winners Atletico Madrid, and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat is Spanish football journalist, scout, and ESPN UK homepage editor, David Cartledge. David Cartledge is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat. David joins the show for an Atletico Madrid variety hour of sorts, even though it's not an hour long. We do discuss many Atletico-related things, though, including the breaking news that Captain Gabby is set to leave. He's set to join Qatari side Al Sadd, coached by Xavi Hernandez of Barcelona fame. We'll discuss the ramifications of that decision, how Atletico's summer has gone to this point. We both think it's gone very well. And we'll talk about the World Cup. It's been a great World Cup to this point. Lots of very good games. Our discussion will focus on the Spanish national team, who managed to win their group despite not playing particularly well, and set up a date with Russia in the last 16. Before we dive on into all that good stuff, though, make sure to leave a rating and a review for Colchonero Chat on Apple Podcasts. It's very important. Helps us to get more eyes and ears on the program, and we'd really appreciate it if you did so. In addition, you can become a Colchonero Chat amigo at patreon.com/colchonerochat from as little as $1 a month. You'll get a guaranteed answer to any questions you may have for myself or my guests. You'll get access to the weekly bonus pods. No bonus pod this week, but Colchonero Chat amigos get early access to the normal podcast. In this case, this episode with David Cartledge. You'll also get a lot more as part of a reward reboot that I'll be unveiling in the next couple weeks. Patreon.com/ColchonerChat. We'll be back with David Cartledge after this.
It's been a great time, and I'm honestly really enjoying it.
Yeah, I think this has been much more fun than 4 years ago, for me at least.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, without doubt. I think this is, like, honestly, this is the best. The drama is just insane. Like, every night, it's like, every day, sorry, it's just drama after drama after drama. It's really good.
Oh, it's been amazing. It's been so good, and we have some really tasty knockout games, too, so it's exciting. This is awesome. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, man. I can't wait to see more of it. That's going to be interesting to see what happens in the knockout stages.
But, yeah, we got a big pod today. Bigger after the whole Gabby news yesterday.
Yeah, definitely. So that's confirmed now, yeah?
To my knowledge, I mean, Atleti haven't made an official announcement, but
yeah.
To my knowledge, it looks like it's happening.
Oh, right. Yeah, crazy. Yeah. I was out last night and saw, like, a few things, but so I didn't get to see much of it. I didn't really get the follow-up on it and everything, but looks like Astrofor and Carlos El Deportivo said it as well. Wow. Yeah, insane. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have to start there, just above everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess so, yeah, I think so.
Because I thought he was going to stay for another season.
Antonio Ruiz said it as well, so yeah, it looks like that's it, yeah. Wow, I can't believe it.
Yeah, and Ruiz is one of the best around. I expected him to stay for another season, not just because he has a contract for next season, but just kind of through this period of transition, kind of mentor Rodri, kind of help him along as ostensibly his replacement. And just add some more depth as well. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
No. It's pretty crazy.
417 appearances in red and white.
Honestly, it's just crazy. And I mean, he's going to earn $6 million a year, 3-year deal. You know, he's nearly 35. It's unbelievable. I understand why he's doing it now. It's completely understandable. It's great for his family. The thing I admire about Gabby the most is the fact that, obviously, he got told he wasn't good enough for it and he went out, he went to Zaragoza, and then he earned his way back to the club.
Yeah.
And that's actually what I admire most about Gabby, the fact that he never let his head drop, he never thought it was all over, he knew one day he could possibly come back, and he's come back and he's played a key role in the biggest chapter of the club's history.
Yeah, he went to Zaragoza, became their captain, one probably their best player.
Incredible. Him and Ander together in midfield were phenomenal. They dragged that Zaragoza side up at times, and then it became too much for them, I think. And he was just extraordinary there, yeah.
And then he came back and just became this titan in Atletico's midfield. Six trophies.
Yeah, one of the best midfielders, not the one of the best players not to get capped by Spain, I think. You know, it's just incredible what he's doing, and he's been Simeone on the field. I always think a manager needs to have somebody on the field who is in his mould to help get his style across. And Gabi has been that, and I think without him, then Atleti wouldn't have had the success that they have had. Honestly, I think I'm sure of that. I think Gabi has been that, you know, huge in his time.
Even though he slowed down a bit last season, which I think you can agree, watching him last season, he just wasn't as good. He lost a step, he got kind of phased out a little bit despite making 50 appearances, but he was still so important in terms of that leadership and in terms of just kind of settling things down.
Yeah,
he was very much that general on the field, that mini Simeone on the field.
Oh yeah,
and
absolutely.
Atletico are gonna miss that more than anything. They're gonna miss his leadership more than anything. Losing Gabi and Torres in one summer, that is a dent for their leadership. Not so much for their on pitch product, but for their dressing room leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. They're two serious figures, two really really big figures in the dressing room. But you know. Some of the younger players, they're quite senior now, you know. Koke, Saul, they've played a lot of games now, and they're, you know, it's up for them to step up. So that's the good thing. I don't think the dressing room is going to be too empty. I think there's figures there ready to step in. I think Koke has already grown in influence over the last few years. Saul is such an intelligent guy, unbelievable football IQ. So he is going to be there ready to step in as well. Gordain is still there. I think Jimenez fancies himself as a future captain. So I think there's still some really, really good figures there, some big figures.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially Gordain. He's going to be the next captain, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you would think so, I think, when you look at it. I think, you know, you usually have about three or four captains, and I think it's probably, you know, Gordain, Koke, and then Saul.
Yeah, probably Saul.
Saul's a decent shout. Maybe Felipe as well is another one. But definitely. No, like honestly, it's and like I say, Jimenez is such an ambitious guy. He's just so much ambition, so much natural leadership, I think, in him, and so much character that I wouldn't have any hesitation in giving him the captain's armband. At least the fourth captain. You know, like one of the vice captains. I'd happily do that because I think he's that prominent of a figure.
I'm so glad he renewed his contract. So glad.
Yeah, I'm honestly delighted because I think it's funny. I think the last time we actually spoke on this podcast, I was like, don't worry about the contract. There's one in place. He's not walking away for free. And I said, like, don't worry, his contract got upgraded. And it did because there was all them stories saying that he had, like, he was going to walk away this summer, I think it was, or maybe 2019. And I was like, no, it's not the case. But anyway, they've renewed him anyway because there's been a lot of interest. His clause was pretty low, I think, in this market.
Yeah.
I think defenders who aren't as good as him have gone for more. And Atleti really needed to do this.
Yeah, he's obviously the future there. For now, next to Godin, and then eventually next to Lucas. That's central defense for the next 5 or 10 years, even.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, that you look at the core of Atleti now, a lot of young players on long-term deals. And it is. It's fantastic. It really is. They've really locked down the core of the squad for the next few years, and I think that's really, really great to see. There's nobody going to be slipping away on a free. There's nobody's contract wind down. There's nobody can put pressure on the board or anything for a new deal. It's all really, really taken care of.
Yeah, and that's interesting. So you've liked Atleti's summer so far?
I think it's been brilliant. Yeah. Honestly, I think it's probably an All Black renewal away from being perfect, I would think. Just about perfect, at least. Maybe they could do with a few more signings. I think they still need they might want another fullback. I think there's talk Savic might leave because he has some offers in the Premier League. So maybe they might need another centre-back, who knows? Or maybe, you know, you got Lucas, who's so versatile. So they might need one more, potentially, in that area. But yeah, it's looking good. They're maybe two signings away and from being in an unbelievable position already to start the new season. And there's not many clubs can say that right now.
That's true, yeah. The speed with which Atleti have worked this summer, it's just been so impressive, considering this is a club that has done things very slowly and deliberately in the past.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Especially just last summer with Costa.
Yeah, I think they've learned. I really do. I think they were caught napping by the whole transfer ban. They were kind of, you know, they had to make do, and Yeah, and I think, yeah, this summer has been a departure from that. It just looks a lot better.
You have Jimenez renewing, Lucas renewing as well to 2024. Griezmann, of course, after his decision, Griezmann renewed. And you have the possibility that Oblak renews. You have Rodri coming in, which I've just said it before. Rodri is possibly the most impactful signing this club has made in the last 4 years. You have Rodri coming in. And then you have Thomas Lemar as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm interested to see how that one goes. I really am. I think, you know, part of it does look like a buddy for Griezmann, and then in part a replacement essentially for Carrasco and Gaetan, an extra option from a wide area.
Where do you see Lemar fitting in? Because to me, it's not obvious, especially in a 4-4-2.
No, it's a difficult one. And you might think there could be a progression in terms of the formation and the style with new players coming in. You know, you've got Rodri coming in as well, a different type of midfielder. Probably he's a midfielder that Atleti's never really had before in terms of his style. And then you got Lemar as well. So I think there's going to be some progression. You know, we've talked about this for quite some time. They need to be progression. You know, they need to improve this system. Whether it be the plan A, they need to improve, or create a plan B. They need to do that. Then, yeah, I think this is the right way of doing this. And I think they're going about it.
Yeah, it's been pretty interesting to see how fast they've worked. There were literally like a period where there were three straight days of major announcements from the club, and like I'm not used to this.
Crazy. It was pretty strange. And then obviously they went out to France's camp as well, and got all that done, you know. And they announced the renewals on there, Lucas and Griezmann, and then Lamar's sign was thrown in as well. It was pretty incredible, and that's how you get business done, and by being assertive.
Yeah, it's interesting. Monaco still haven't confirmed Lamar's transfer, but
there's a medical still waiting to take place.
But otherwise it's done. With Lamar, it's going to be fascinating for me because, you know, watching him play, he can really play anywhere across the midfield three. So you could see him like at the tip of a diamond. I think my preference would be to have him playing behind Costa and Griezmann at the tip of a diamond.
Yeah, that sounds like something that, you know, that could definitely work. And, I mean, they could even work in a three, kind of like a lopsided three, all exchanging positions, I think, because there's so much flexibility there. So, yeah, it just gives Atleti some options, what they haven't had before, and this is what they need.
And still have Vitolo around, and still have Correa around as well.
Yeah, great options, I think. You know, when you're playing bigger opposition, then I think Vitolo, the way he protects his fullback, he doubles up, I think, is a good thing. And then when you're feeling a bit more, wanting to be a bit more liberated, want to be a bit more positive, then you've got Lemar, and you can play him with Griezmann and Costa.
Here's a question from our Colchonero Chat amigo, Anders Sorensen, from patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. Do you guys think Atletico need a new striker as a backup for Costa? In my opinion, we need a strong target man type attacker to get the best out of Griezmann. If Costa gets injured or whatever, I don't think Correa or Gamero, if he's not sold, are effective options. I know Atletico can't buy a world-class striker as a backup, but I think we need this type of striker in the squad.
I couldn't agree more. They do need somebody of that ilk, like a target man. Somebody like Stuani would have been perfect.
Oh, yes.
Like a Stuani, Bas Dost type figure would be great. And then high-end is like Maxi Gomez. I get what he's saying. He wants a big striker, a bulky sort of striker. I completely get that. I understand. It's funny, I mean, while we're on the subject of these type of strikers, it is such a shame when you see him play, like, that Mandzukic didn't work out, because he seemed like somebody who would be ideal for Atleti. And they do need somebody of that ilk, I think, as a backup. So, I'd say that. Probably one defensive signing, somebody who can maybe play centre-back and full-back, and then a striker as well. That would probably be under Black's renewal, and that would probably be a perfect summer.
I think Vardy would have been a perfect fit. I know there wasn't ever really much to that rumour, but I would have loved to see Vardy in
I saw that. I just didn't like it. Honestly, I really didn't like the idea of Vardy being Atleti. I just don't think he's the profile that they need, but that's just my take. I'd much rather see a more target man type striker, somebody you can put crosses in for.
Yeah, Stuani, Stuani would be really interesting. We both love Maxi Gomez, but he's going to be too expensive.
Yeah, way expensive. Yeah. I mean, Stuani would have been great, you know, for his renewal. If they could have got him for cheap, maybe 5-6 million just to bring off the bench. You know, Uruguayan, tough guy as well, and I think he would have had no problem fitting in. I just think it would have been a great signing.
So, I think we can both agree the summer has gone very well to this point. Even with, yeah, with Gabby set to leave for Xavi's Al-Sadd side. Luke at Atleti Habo on Twitter asks, what does Simeone need to do in order to potentially win La Liga or even the Champions League with this squad next season?
Kind of just what we've been talking about, progression in terms of the system. And he knows, you know, Simeone, I thought, would make a lot more errors from his part than he ever had in any other season with Atleti. I think at times he was overly negative, at times he was overly cautious. I think it was largely down to the playing squad that he had, that he maybe thought he didn't have enough to be more positive. But I think now there probably is that option for him to be a bit more positive. I think Saul can probably be freed up now they have Rodri, so he can put Saul to an attacking role. He doesn't have to lug about and be the water carrier, you know, and run about so much and chase everything down. He can now play an advanced role potentially in midfield. You've got Lamar, who's been brought in. Griezmann's staying. Costa's going to be more settled in, have a pot of pre-season. So, I just think progression, honestly, what we've been saying, progression in terms of the system, different focus points, I think. They don't have to always hit Costa and go through Griezmann. They need to look at other ways to play as well. Other individuals need to step up as well. We need another individual, I think, at Leti to step up, whether it be Correa, whether it be Lamar. You know, you need these players to step up and have a good season where they maybe score 15 goals, 20 goals.
And I think either of those guys could be the guy to do that. In Correa especially, I still think there's a level to his game that we haven't seen yet. There's still too much inconsistencies in his game, but I think he can hit another gear. I'm not sure just how big that gear is or how tall that ceiling is, but I think he can hit it. That's the guy to look for next season.
He's a super talented player. He's incredibly gifted. He has something as well. Now Carrasco is gone. He's the only person, I think, in this Atleti squad who has that ability to be direct and drive at people, take defenders away with his running, his movement, unlock a defence in that manner with the way he goes at people. So yeah, I think he really needs to step up a lot more in that sense. But like, it's like I say, well, I think he can probably just be better, but it's a case of I don't know how much he wants to be better. I don't know how much he wants it. I think to step up a level as a footballer, you have to really, really want it. You have to really, really desire it. And I don't know whether Angel Correa really desires it. I hope I'm wrong.
Well, Atleti are also trying to renew Correa. That's what's been said in the papers last week or two, that they're looking to renew his contract as well. So they still believe in him.
Yeah.
And Correa's a weird one for me because I don't know how much he's going to play next season.
No, neither do I, because you need to define his role. And like I say, this is what we're touching on. Again, system. Simeone's got a lot of options now. A lot of different ways to play. I think that's good. So I think everybody will get a chance. But, you know, there's still competition. You know, there's places that we won. Lamar's arrived, but he's still going to start on the same footing as Correa starts the new season. And they're all out there to win places in the team. And that's where it's there for. And you just have to, it's like I said, you have to want it.
Yeah. Yeah, the competition for places is going to be fierce. And this is a bigger squad than Simeone's ever had at Atletico, too. Like, the competition in this particular squad, as it stands right now, it's more intense than any other squad he's had.
Oh, yeah, unbelievably so. This is what I mean. This is why I think they're capable of winning on all fronts next season. Because they've got a good squad. They can't play the whole, poor me, poor me, underdog card anymore. No. There's no time for that anymore. They have to, go out and try and win because they've got a proper squad out there right now.
But you know they want to play that card, though. They're going to try to play up as much as they can. The underdog mentality.
I didn't believe them. I haven't believed them for a long time in that. You know, they spent many years trying to get to the elite, and then, you know, it's the underdog, and then they got to the elite, and they have to acknowledge that they are a top level club now. They're a big gun. People come for their scalp now.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's a few scalps that Atleti still go for. Barcelona, Real Madrid, you know, the Bayern Munich, Juve's, these big European classic giants. But, you know, there are teams now out there who look at Atleti in a similar way.
Yeah, that's definitely true. In terms of departures, Atleti are going to need to make a few sales because they've already spent $100 million this summer. Versalco, Savage have been linked, as we talked about. Gamero is probably going to go as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost certain I think Gamero is going to go.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. There's not much room for him, I don't think, especially if they do sign another striker. I think the type of striker that they want, then yeah.
Yeah, and a Gabby replacement is probable, especially if he leaves and they might sign another central midfielder.
Yeah, I mean, there's potential of it. Yeah, I mean, now this is happening. I know they signed Rodri. You know, you've got Thomas in there who's progressed so much as well. But yeah, it's certainly possible.
I'm good with selling Savage. I think you would be too. He's the fourth best center back out of like three, so I'm fine with selling him, especially if Chelsea want to pay like $40 million for him. But what about for Salko?
I wouldn't sell him. I find it ludicrous. It really annoys me that his name is mentioned as a possible exit. I don't really see the need of it. I think he climbed over a wall last season at Leti. I think he was really up against it. I think it looked like he was going, and then he played. I don't know. He did everything the right thing Simeone wanted to play. He showed he was hungry, and he wanted to stay, and he wanted to play, and he wanted to earn his place, and he did, and he was outstanding. In all of his time at Atleti, Versalco has never put a foot wrong. He really, really hasn't. He's never made any large error. He's never slipped up in a big way, in a big game. He's never looked like he doesn't care. He's not trying. But there's something that you can throw at other players. I just don't really get this. If you're going to go for a really good, really, really good right fullback, then okay, I may as well understand. But if Sidibe from Monaco is this the answer, it just seems to me, it just doesn't make any sense. He's no better than Versalco. If anything, he's considerably worse when you look at some of his positioning. He's just nowhere near as good as Versalco. Versalco is an excellent player. I think, you know, a team is potentially going to get a bargain in Versalco, because the way that Atleti seem to be shopping him about or saying that they don't want him, it just doesn't make sense to me at all.
Yeah, it's a weird one, especially since he just got that contract in February. He didn't have a great end to the season. Got sent off against Arsenal, pulled at halftime of the Europa League final. So the last few games for him weren't that good. But over the full body of work, I mean, he had a fine season. He still missed too many games. For my liking, he missed too many games. Just had a few too many games, especially after Felipe went out, where he just wasn't nearly as influential as you would have liked. Crossing was just too inconsistent, etc. But he's only been at Atletico for a year and a half. I mean, he missed half his first season with an ACL injury. That's not his fault.
Yeah, yeah. I think we have to at least give him a preseason, see how he performs, and then there's, you know, maybe up in January if you do really want to sell him, if you do want him around. But he's a good player. You work with him. He's very good. He's young. I think he's very hungry. I think if they sell him, they'll regret it, because he's going to go to another team, another big team.
Yeah, he's quality. Not sure Sidibe is the answer either. I mean, I haven't watched him a whole lot, but it does seem like he has positioning and defensive issues, which not gonna go over well in this team.
Not at all. Again, it's just not an area that needs to be, targeted, I don't think, in terms of a sale.
Yeah, so we'll see what Atletico do there. They do need to find another fullback. Johnny from Celta Vigo was linked for a while, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Doesn't seem like it's going to happen now. So we'll see. There's still some stuff to be done this summer, but no doubt it's been extremely positive so far. And at everywhere at club level, it's just been very good. Atletico's women's team won the league title again. Atleti's under-19s team just won the Copa del Rey as part of a treble. Extremely impressive stuff for them.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, and a few of those guys, Borja Garces in particular, are going to be starting the preseason with the senior squad. So, and we have a World Cup too, so it's been a lot of fun. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Speaking of the World Cup, teams with Atletico players have not lost yet, and the group stage is just about done. 11 wins against 4 draws. That's pretty good. David, you and I both follow Spain quite a bit. What have you made of their World Cup campaign so far?
Immensely disappointing. It's been really, really poor, honestly. Isco aside, nothing has really got me out of my seat. Very, very sad to see that all the great work that Lopetegui did for a number of years, for 2 years or so, it's in a process of being, I think, disintegrated away. There's just a lot of improvement needs to be made, I think. It's worrying, I think, at the moment. The last performance against Morocco was just appalling. It really, really was. And yeah. It looks like they are missing a guide right now, a leader. I think.
We talked about this a little bit after it happened, but Lopetegui's dismissal. I understood why Rubiales did it, even if not necessarily agreeing with the decision. It seems like now, even though Spain won their group, they really weren't that impressive, and they do have a lot of problems. Looking back, would you have made that decision?
No, I wouldn't have, because I think it got personal. It really, really did. And when it becomes personal, then that's a problem. I think Rubiales made it that way, and then that was it. Once it did, that was it.
I see it from both angles. Like, on the one hand, he has to take a stand against this kind of thing happening. Lopetegui just signing a new contract, and then, I'm going to go coach Real Madrid now. But on the other, the World Cup is literally 2 days from starting. Less than 2 days from starting, and you're going to sack the coach.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, it just made no sense to me. I can understand why he did it, but like, I just wouldn't have done it. That it's this close to a tournament. It was a wild, wild idea to do it. Honestly,
I admire the principled stand he took. That you're the coach of the national team. The World Cup is about to start. You know, don't be cheating on us. And I don't think it would have mattered if any other club other than Real Madrid approached him. He took a stand, but I think it did get personal. And it's hurt Spain. It's hurt the team. Other than the Portugal game, where I think Spain played really well, just a few weird things happened there. You know, Cristiano hat-trick, De Gea being terrible. Other than the first group game, Spain have not been very good. Like, I think that's just evident.
Yeah. They've been dismal. Honestly, they've been so poor. There needs to be a serious improvement, but I just don't think it's forthcoming.
Sporting Hijan on our Patreon page asks us, having watched all three of their World Cup matches, I've been thinking a lot about Spain's defensive deficiencies and wondering if the addition of some Atletico players to the starting 11 might help shore up the defense. I'm thinking Koke and Saul both fit the mindset and have the experience to shut down opposition counterattacks.
Yeah, I completely agree. Did a recent podcast on talking La Liga, we said that, you know, we think Koke definitely needs to be the partner for Busquets. Busquets pretty much had like a cry for help, I think, in the press conference before the Morocco game, saying that he really likes playing with Koke. And then, you know, Hierro went and started Thiago.
Yeah.
Which was really, really strange. I found it was absurd. And also, when you see how bad the press is at the moment, Spain's pressing system, in both in terms of its individuals and its energy generally as a and then as a collective as well, a collective press, it's not good enough, and you need somebody like Saul who can help initiate that. So I mean, personally for me, I'd have Koke, Saul, and Asensio all need to come in and honestly freshen this team up.
Yeah, Busquets actually said he would like Koke as his partner.
He couldn't have been more explicit in saying it. He really couldn't have. Koke is my ideal partner. That's what he said. And then he went and started. And then Hierro went and started Thiago. Baffling. Utterly, utterly baffling.
Yeah, and now there's talk he's going to start Nacho in central midfield against Russia.
Yeah, exactly. I'm baffled if it happens. We'll see if it happens and everything. I don't like to read too much into what things are getting done, because you just don't know. I'll see when the team comes out. But, I mean, if he does, then it will pretty much confirm all my worst thoughts about Hierro.
I agree. I do think Koke needs to be in there. I mean, he only started the first game against Portugal. But Koke will do the running. Koke will... He has the vision. He has the ability to read that game and just run around and do everything. Like he does at club level, that's what Koke is kind of able to do, and he can protect Busquets in that sense. Saul, I just think, needs to play. Like, he didn't play at all in the group stage, despite some talk he would start against Morocco. He didn't play at all, which I think was really, really disappointing. His energy could have been so useful. His shooting from distance, especially in those last couple games against Iran and Morocco, could have been very important, but Hierro didn't see it that way. Yeah, something else that's bothered me about this is that there really has not been a plan B for Hierro to this point. It's the same core that Del Bosque used and failed with in 2014 and 2016.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, There's no but I don't really like the plan A. So, you know, I think the plan A has actually gone out the window, and now it's just kind of like, so I think it was the collection, it was as usual, the plan A was the collective, you know, to pass around, obviously to keep the ball, to wear teams down, to hit those little pinpoint passes through. And now it's kind of like, all right, Isco is actually our only good player right now. Right. So just give it to Isco and you do everything. And don't forget, this kid's... he's not a kid anymore. He's older now, okay? But don't forget, it's Isco's first major tournament with Spain. He hasn't been in any of the squads. So this is a lot for him to take on. And I tell you what, he's faring well. He's brilliant. He's been brilliant. He's Spain's best player by a country mile.
Yeah.
And one of the best players at the tournament. But you can't just rely upon him. You need more. And there's just dead weight out there. I think Iniesta's minutes need to be managed better. You need to take him off after the first 45, maybe, or you put him on for the last 45, whatever. And he's managed in a lot better manner. Silva's not really bringing anything to the team at all. And like I say, I think Busquets needs a partner. And you know, the two main experiments that Hierro went with, Lucas Vazquez, the player to play as a wide player and keep width, didn't work. And then he brought Thiago in, like what we've discussed. That didn't work either.
Yeah, starting Lucas against Iran was just one of the strangest decisions I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it was really, really strange. I could see why he did it, but then it was executed so poorly.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, it was just not the right decision for that game against that particular setup.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's it's kind of like a plan whatever right now. Just get the ball to Isco and let him cook. That's basically it, which isn't a bad plan because, you know, Isco's a really, really good player. But other than that, I think Iniesta's been good, but I think there are also a lot of other options that need consideration, not just play Iniesta 90 minutes. I think he's been good. The assist on the Costa goal against Iran was just so sublime, and not enough people were talking about how good that assist was.
Oh, yeah, it was stunning. It really was.
Costa's been really, really good as well.
Yeah, yes.
With the three goals. So individually, there have been some good performances, but under Lopetegui, Spain was all about the collective and all about introducing new blood and introducing different styles of play. And now we're not seeing that, and it's disappointing. Luckily for Spain, though, it looks like their side of the bracket is going to be somewhat manageable. So even if they don't play that well, they could still get to a semifinal.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I think they could, you know, they just need to pick it up a little bit, that's all.
Yeah, I wonder if they can do it, if they're capable, but that the change in leadership and all the upheaval that went on there.
Yeah.
I mean, to get out of the group, to win the group is good, but they did it a lot, because most of it, the reason they did it is because they're just so much more talented than just about everyone else in that group.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just a case of getting it to click and getting the pieces in the right place, but I think there needs some decent changes made.
Yeah, you think Spain can still get to at least a semi-final or maybe even win the thing?
Right now, I'm not very confident. I can see them even potentially get knocked out by Russia. If Russia are going to run as much as they have, then I can see them outrunning Spain, because Spain aren't as clever anymore with their passing. So, and if those right changes, if they don't come,
it will be interesting. It'll be, hopefully it'll be fun to watch, but it'll be interesting to see what Hierro does. There was also talk that he might start Kepa against Russia. I don't think it's going to happen, but there was also some chat.
Not do I, actually.
I can't see that happening. No, I just can't see him doing De Gea like that.
Yeah.
De Gea has been not good at all. He's made, what, one save in three games?
Yeah.
But De Gea's probably the second or third best goalkeeper in the world. You start him no matter what.
Yeah, probably.
I think you do. What else? What from the World Cup? Germany are gone. That was a thing that happened.
yeah. Good riddance. It's just the finish of a team chapter, you know. I don't think Yogi Löw is not really that good of a coach anywhere. I think he was just around and a part of a complete overhaul of German football, and he was around at that time, and you know, he was the manager, and I think some brilliant individual talent in the right moment. He was there. He's never been a great coach. He's never really been convinced me. He's just been a steady hand, I think. And that's just how it is. It's good to see them going out, really.
You know, I did the FIFA World Cup bracket. I only had Brazil and Germany in the final. So that's good. Yeah. One of my finalists has already been eliminated. That's good.
I had Brazil down to be winners, I think.
Yeah, I do too. I didn't start too well for them, but they're really good.
I'm not particularly impressed by them, and I never thought they were actually that good, but I just thought they could potentially win this competition because of the collective being right, and then also star power in terms of Neymar potentially turning up in a big way. But I still think some of the big teams haven't really clicked yet, and you don't peak too early, so they might be starting to peak last 16 quarterfinal time.
Who's been the best team so far? Croatia?
Up until yesterday, I would have said Mexico.
Yeah.
I guess Croatia. I guess. It's really hard to say. Honestly, it is difficult to say who has been the best team. Yeah, I guess I'm going to go with that. I think the best bit of football I've seen was that 45 minutes, the second 45 minutes against Poland by Colombia. That was insanely good. That was just absolute, the football there was just pure joy. That was brilliant. But I guess Croatia, I suppose it has to be, really, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough question. The criteria is kind of difficult. And there are teams that haven't quite played up to their potential yet, that haven't really clicked yet, but still made it out as group winners or group runners-up. I think Belgium could be one of those teams, even though Belgium has scored a bunch of goals. Something about Belgium in particular just doesn't convince me.
Oh, the thing that doesn't convince me about Belgium is their manager. So. So we'll have to wait and see, you know, but you can say that for other teams as well, and like, you know, Deschamps as well, getting the absolute minimum on an incredible group of talent, you know, which is mad. Uruguay and Colombia, I think they've got old coaches who are unwilling to make too many big moves towards the future. They're trying to get the last out of the current generation, the older generation. So it's things like that. It's just going against teams. I think there's some people, there's some nations, on the verge of something very, very good, and they're just missing a few last details.
Yeah, I think Uruguay also have a shout as the best team in the competition so far. I think they've been tremendous, very Atletico-like in their performances to this point.
Yeah, but like they can just do a lot more. I think they've still not got the midfield right. I don't think, and they need Torreira in there. I think he needs to play.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. I'd want to see Laxalt starting as well. And, you know, there's no need for Vecino in there, I don't think, at the moment. There's a few things that need to change. And I think they're probably like just a few details away from being very good.
Yeah, and you mentioned France. Is it possible to be a disappointment even if you've won the group? Because that's what France would be.
Oh, yeah, I don't care, you know, if they've won the group. You know, they've still been absolutely terrible. They've been dreadful. It's painstaking watching them. Honestly, it is such a chore watching them, and it's sad because they've probably got the most exciting talent at the tournament.
Yeah, that Denmark game in particular.
Yeah. Well, it was utterly dreadful, and I can't stand any football or coaches that approach things like that.
I'm telling you, Argentina's going to beat them because Deschamps is going to put Griezmann at left back or something. I'm telling you. It's going to happen. But it's been a brilliant World Cup to this point for everyone, but especially for Atletico players. Again, 11 wins and 4 draws for teams that feature at least one Atletico player. Felipe Luis played yesterday, got 80 minutes in after Marcelo went off injured. I thought Felipe played very well. Brazil were pretty dangerous down that left-hand side. So far, it's been very good.
Yeah, that has been, honestly, it's just so much drama every night, every day. It's fantastic to see.
Well, I think that's about all I've got, David. What about on your end?
Yeah, man, that's all good. No, that's all good. I think we've covered everything well. What's going on there, I think.
Fantastic. Well, David, this was lots of fun. Thank you again for coming on. Really, always love talking to you.
Yeah, man, I've really enjoyed it, honestly. I look forward to getting on again, potentially just ahead of the new season, maybe.
Yeah. Make sure you guys follow Talking La Liga on the Twitters. David and Simon Harrison do a great job there. Follow David on Twitter at DavidJACA. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBaron. Follow Into the Calderon as well at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of the show, Colt Gennaro Chat, on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and review if you do so. And we will be back next week. Until then, adios.